Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a loaded, what is it, Wednesday?
Yes, it's Wednesday. Yeah,
it is Wednesday. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, Reggie Bush will be on the show today, the most exhilarating college football player maybe in the last 20 years. If players could sell their jerseys, their likeness, and make money, I'm not sure outside of Tim Tebow there's been a college player in 20 years that would make the money that Reggie Bush would have made. The NCAA can no longer keep USC and Reggie Bush apart. He will join us in a couple of hours. Looking forward to that. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You know, for somebody that says you hang out at home and you don't have wardrobe, I've never seen a more diverse wardrobe from you. You don't have a stylist?
We have wardrobes.
Oh,
still.
You do?
Yeah, our wardrobe department, everybody's not back yet, but they have my normal
all right.
Show clothes, like, steamed and hung in my room for me, which is great.
You're pandemic proof when it comes to hair. You really are.
Well, I mean, prior to coming to FS1, I did do my own hair and makeup for you know, most of my career.
I've had friends say, boy, Joey looks great. And I'm like, we don't even have wardrobe people around. Look at my hair. I'm an unmade
wardrobe,
bed.
They leave it in there for it. But we do need all of our crew back, though.
Yes, we do. So I want to talk about a story, Colin Kaepernick. So Malcolm Jenkins is somebody I've respected a lot during the last couple of years, last 3 years. I think his professional demeanor, his understanding of players, ownership, the commissioner, he's been a really smart voice on all these issues, the Kaepernick issues. He's never been there just to pick a fight. Malcolm Jenkins has been, let's get this resolved, let's get it fixed, let's do it right. And I think he's been a real pro on this. He's a guy, I think, that everybody can listen to, learn from. And he was on the CBS morning show, and he was talking about what to do now with Colin Kaepernick and Roger Goodell now admitting he was wrong. And here's Malcolm Jenkins.
I still don't think they've gotten it right. Until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or sign him to a team, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. At the end of the day, they have listened to their players. They've donated money. They've created an Inspire Change platform. They've tried to do things up until this point. It's been one player in particular that they have not, or that they've ignored and have not acknowledged, and that's Colin Kaepernick.
Okay, so he said either assign him to a team or apologize. Well, since assigning players to teams is not really a thing, the apology is probably the way to go. But let me talk about this. So when the Kaepernick kneeling happened, you know, I've always said I'm not a big fan of taking your protest to your job. There's a lot of, you know, you can Instagram it, Twitter it, your shoe company. But be that as it may, I talked about Kaepernick for a couple of years. I wasn't outraged by the kneel itself. And I talked about Kaepernick, I should tell you, on this show for about a couple months. The reason I stopped talking about him was I didn't think it was that captivating a story. And I'm trying to fill 12 segments a day. That's all I'm trying to do here. I'm looking for interesting. Kaepernick now is interesting to me again, because if he plays, I'd watch. I judge it by my friends. When I go jogging, work out with my friends, play tennis, what are they talking about? That's usually the lead to my show. They stopped talking about Kaepernick after about 2 months, and I was like, okay, that's no longer a quarterback story, right? And then now they're asking again, well, what do you think? So here's what I think. I think it's interesting. But let's talk football, because I'm not left, right. Let's just talk football. He has been inactive for 4 years. Okay. Michael Vick was inactive for 2. Michael Vick's way better than Kaepernick. He was inactive for half as long. He was younger. Michael Vick came back for a year, could not beat out Kevin Cobb. It's hard. Alden Smith was a sack-a-game defensive lineman. He's been off 4 years. He signed with the Cowboys. I didn't spend a segment on it. Why? I don't think he can play. Do we understand how good this league is? I'm talking football. Now, there's a bunch of good teams. I do think, you know, he kind of plays a little bit like Russell Wilson, and there's a little Carson Wentz here, and there's a little Lamar Jackson. But good teams generally, Super Bowl teams, there's about 8 to 10. Celebrity backup is just not what they're looking for. So let's be realistic. You can't ask Baltimore, who I think is the best team in the league, to bring a celebrity backup in. They have a young quarterback. They love him. He's great. They want to focus. They want to do football. I think it's unfair to ask a great team, a Seattle, a Baltimore, you know, like a San Francisco. Their eyes are Super Bowl. Do they want a celebrity backup? Most historically, that's just not a position in the NFL. Let's go to some teams where they're not very good. Your Cincinnati's and your Jacksonville's, Gardner Minshew. I'm not sure in this league right now, if you've been gone for 4 years and you were kind of average and you'll be 33 and you've been out 4 years, I'm not sure you can make a backup. You think I'm crazy. Andy Dalton was a Pro Bowler. He's still young. Backup. Jameis Winston, 30 touchdown passes, third string. Cam Newton can't get a job. Folks, I've been saying this, joy as my witness, for several years. This is the golden age of quarterbacks. About 15 years ago, everybody in the country finally decided, let's get the best athlete, let him be quarterback. That didn't happen when I was a kid. The quality of the quarterback play with all these Elite 11 camps in the last 4 to 5 years has exploded. There's no more first-round quarterback busts. We bring their college schemes. The coaching's better. The coaching's younger. They got 100,000 snaps by the time they're 14 years old. Do we understand the revolution that's happening with quarterback play in this league? Jameis Winston's third string. He had 30 touchdown passes. Third string. So if Tua, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert all hit, and I think they will, I think they're all going to be B to B plus quarterbacks in the NFL. Tua, I think, could be an A minus. Next year, we have two superstar A plus quarterbacks. There are no starting jobs left. New England may be the only desperate team after this year. So the question is Kaepernick willing to be a backup? I'm here for it. I'm here for the tryout. I'm here to watch. I'm in the interesting business. I think Kaepernick back in the league is interesting. My question is football. 4 years? Average when he left? Are we sure he's an NFL player anymore? We are watching the greatest 4 to 5 year stretch of new quarterbacks in the league that I can ever remember. We are one draft away, two more star quarterbacks, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence away. You're just running out of teams that need quarterbacks. So I'm for Kaepernick. I think it's interesting. I think there's probably a space that it works, but we should ask Colin Kaepernick. Does he want to be a backup to Gardner Minshew? Does he? If he does, that's kind of the situation I think it works in. A backup on a non-Super Bowl team that probably has bad personnel, and I'm okay with it. Because I do think it's an interesting question, but I think the apology is perhaps the easier route than assigning him to a team. Because I think the great teams are not looking for celebrity backups, and the bad teams, I wonder, Colin Kaepernick's an icon. Colin Kaepernick stands for something. Colin Kaepernick's not short on money. Does he want to do it? But I do think it's now moved back into a very interesting story that I'd like to watch. I think he deserves a tryout. I think we need to talk about it. I don't think we should be worried about it and walk on eggshells. Let's see. Let's go. But man, what I see in the NFL, a 33-year-old, when he comes back, 4 years inactive, wasn't great. I'm not sure he's an NFL player. I know he's not an NFL starter. I just don't see that. But I don't know if we kind of understand the quality of what we're watching right now. It's the best I've ever seen. In the 40 years I've been watching it, I've never seen quarterback play like this, ever. Trevor Lawrence was a freshman at college. I thought he was good enough to play in the NFL. I mean, seriously, I don't remember anybody being like that. I don't remember that. I saw John Elway in college. He wasn't good enough to play in the NFL as a freshman. Andrew Luck wasn't good enough to play. So that's the world we live in right now. I'm here for it. I'm excited for it. Let's see what happens. And I do think Malcolm Jenkins is one of the NFL guys. He talks, I listen. I think he's always got a realistic approach. So this story is interesting. So Daryl Morey, I like Daryl Morey, Rockets GM, very early analytic guy. The video's a little fuzzy because, you know, quarantines, virus, all that stuff. Joy and I, we take the video we can get these days. So he has always been defending James Harden. I didn't like Harden initially in the league. I've come to accept he's an all-time great offensive player. I don't think he's built with his ball-centric style. The late Kobe Bryant said that. It doesn't work in the playoffs. You don't get the whistle. But Daryl Morey is saying the reason the media is not fair with James Harden.
We've worked together for 8 or 9 years now, and I couldn't have a better partner to try and win a title with. And in fact, most days I wake up saying I've let him down because I haven't got him the right players to win a title.
He also said he thinks the media has been too tough on him. The media has been tough on James. Okay, Kevin Durant's relationship with the media is at best prickly. We love Kevin. Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk to the media. We love Kawhi. Westbrook taunts the media. Most media like Westbrook. It's not a media thing. James Harden's let us down time and time again. 2017, Game 6 against the Spurs. He quit. Made 2 shots, only took 11. Houston's up 3-2 on Golden State. Remember that a couple years ago? They have him dead, coming back home. Houston missed 27 straight threes. Harden was 2 of 13. He was dreadful. They had the champions. In 2015, Rockets were down to the Clippers 3-1. Harden was so bad, he had a minus 21. They benched him, and the team came back without him. Last year against Golden State, KD's out. Steph doesn't score a point in the first half. It's Harden's game to win. Steph was way better. By the way, the only time he was in the finals, he was dreadful for Oklahoma City. He shot 37%. Kobe Bryant told us this. A ball-centric style is exhausting, and by the time you get to the playoffs, you just don't have much left in the tank. You lose your legs. James Harden has lost his legs in the playoffs over and over and over. He goes through droughts and bad nights. We really don't see much in the regular season. And similarly, the NBA playoffs, James needs the whistle. That's his game. He needs the whistle. I've got to be honest with you. My entire life, refs don't give you the whistle in the playoffs. They step back and let players dominate the game. I look at James Harden like the greatest sports convertible. Those convertible sports cars, amazing in the summer, pretty badass in the fall, don't work in the winter. And the winter's the NBA playoffs. He's not built for it. He's just not built for it. He's built to get the whistle. That's a regular season thing. Ball-centric's great. Game 1 through 72. But when you play defense, you get to the playoffs. I don't think it's a don't like James Harden thing. I think we've all come to terms with what he is. The great sports car, the convertible sports car in the NBA. There are just times it just doesn't work. But when it's working, nobody looks cooler on the freeway. Nobody looks cooler and richer and more hip. Seen the guy with sunglasses, convertible sports car, driving in L.A., one hand on the wheel, you're like, oh, that is great. But December and January doesn't work. And so I don't think it's media. We've come to a point in sports. We are so demanding on our professional athletes. It's not just about winning. It's when you win. And in the NBA, Michael Jordan changed everything. If you're not good in the last series of the year, to us, you're overrated and not that good. So I don't buy into the James Harden stuff. Kevin Durant's prickly. Kawhi doesn't talk. Westbrook yells at us. 99% of NBA fans and media love those guys. James Harden has simply let us down. By the way, Joy, Kaepernick, interested in it now?
In him being in the league?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's gone back to being a really interesting topic.
Well, I do think that an apology is definitely necessary. A very public apology would go a long way towards validating what the NFL, what we're hearing from the NFL as far as where they stand on all these issues. And Goodell saying that he should have listened to the players. Well, the player that started it is Kaepernick. So he definitely deserves an apology. The reason he's been out of the league is wrong. And that should be given attention. But I do think that, you know, fair play and fair practices should stand in place as far as the competition goes. What happened to Kaepernick wasn't fair. So he should get an opportunity to play in the league again. And then once he's on a team,
Do you think he's good enough to be in the league now, 4 years out?
I know he's been training throughout these 4 years as if he is going to get a call at any moment. So he's always been consistent with, I want to play and I want an opportunity to come back and I'm going to continue training as if it's the offseason.
I want to see his practices. I'd love to see it. I am fascinated. I said this just on football. The quarterback position now is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. There's like 12 really, really good young quarterbacks.
The market is saturated right now, but I don't think that he is expecting to come in and be a starter, and I don't think anyone is expecting him to come in and be a starter. But he should have an opportunity to play on an NFL team. And there's been plenty of examples of guys who've been sitting on their couch for 4 or 5 years that the league has brought in back to be backup quarterbacks or third string quarterbacks. So the fact that he's not been playing for 4 years, it just means that he's not going to come in and be a starter, but he does deserve an opportunity to work in the NFL again, because that was taken away from him unfairly. Once he makes the team and if he doesn't perform, that's a different conversation, but having the opportunity.
Do you think he's better than RG3 today?
No, but RG3, that's not really the conversation about
teams only have two quarterbacks. They don't carry a third. New Orleans is rare. So I think RG3 is kind of a below average backup. I'm just talking football.
No, but RG3 has been in that system for a few years.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference. So whether or not he is better than RG3, being in the system and being around football and practices and all those things makes a difference. I think he's good enough to be a backup quarterback in the league, and he deserves an opportunity to do so. Once he makes a team, if he doesn't stay on the team, or he's not good enough to make the team past training camp or whatever, or stay on a team, that's a different conversation. And that might be a result of him not being in the league for 4 years, which we can't take those 4 years away, but you can make it right by giving him an opportunity.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
USC football, it's the most relevant college football program, Denver West. There are 78 million people in America. Denver West, 78 million. They have largely tuned out to a lot of college football because USC is no longer relevant. And now Reggie Bush, the infractions time, the NCAA has an infractions rule that Reggie and USC could no longer be together. That rule, the jurisdictions run out. Reggie's back to go on campus, help USC. And it's interesting about college football. I love college football. In fact, when I first got a job at ESPN, my brand was college football. I used to talk about it constantly. The sport's simply too lopsided now. It's about the coach, not the player. It's too regional. Alabama bores me. Clemson's talented, but mostly bores me. We talk about Dabo and Nick. Reggie Bush was the most scintillating college football player in the last 20 years. I'm not saying the best. He was the most scintillating. He was the most glamorous. USC's dynasty is the last dynasty in college football where we talked about the players, not the coach. It wasn't that Pete Carroll wasn't wonderful, but to give you some idea of what Reggie Bush did, overwhelmingly 98% of big college football programs are in small towns. The coach is the highest paid state employee. Pete Carroll wasn't the highest paid guy in Los Angeles on his block. And Reggie Bush took over the city. We have NBA franchises here. We got two baseball teams, MLS. We got nothing, but we got beaches, we got mountains, we got shopping, we got Malibu, we got Laguna, we got pro teams. Reggie Bush took over the city. He was the coolest guy in Los Angeles. You would go to USC games and you'd see Will Smith, Will Ferrell, Snoop Dogg on the sidelines. College football misses USC. They miss glamour. They miss a program where players mattered more than the coach. The only thing that's equivalent to it, in my opinion, is the Miami Hurricanes program, where we were into the dudes, not just the coach. Reggie is back. The sanctions against USC were outrageously unfair. 30 vacated scholarships, 14 vacated wins, 2-year bowl ban, because Reggie's parents in his last year were in a house that they weren't paying rent, and they essentially blew up the most important program, arguably west of the Mississippi. Great to have Reggie back. College football misses him. I watch games for players. He took over the city of Los Angeles. He was cool. He was handsome. He looked like a rocket. His highlights, you had to watch early because sometimes he didn't play late. He didn't have to. Welcome back. College football misses Reggie Bush. They miss USC, and they miss Reggie Bush. I'll tell you that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Bet put this out. The values of quarterbacks above their a replacement level backup. We were talking about Kaepernick backing up and that stuff. So the average backup in the NFL, and I don't know who the average backup is. I think Marcus Mariota is way above average. Andy Dalton's above average. Jameis Winston's way above average. Who's an average backup? Geno Smith, Seattle. Is that that's about average. He always has a job, but he's pretty average. So Geno Smith, how many points are players worth above kind of average backup quarterback? So the top guys, pretty obvious. Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Breeze, Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Lamar Jackson, all touchdown or more. That makes sense. And let's go to the middle guy. I'm not going to give you all of them. Let's go to the middle guys. Like Kirk Cousins, Goff, Mayfield, Derek Carr, Josh Allen. About half that, 4.5 points. And let's go to the very bottom. The last guy, Jarrett Stidham, -1.5. I know we love our football coaches, but New England's going to have to come to terms with this. It's a 6-10 football season. That's what you're going to have. I want you to think about this. Bill Walsh is considered the smartest offensive guy ever. Before Joe Montana was given the franchise, he was 6-18 with the Niners. They couldn't score. Joe Montana was the catalyst for all that. Chuck Knoll, when I was a kid growing up in the 70s, he was the great coach. In the 20 games he coached before Terry Bradshaw was the quarterback, he was 3-17. Then he won a bunch of Super Bowls with Bradshaw. Then Bradshaw left. He never won 10 games again. 8 years, 2 playoffs. Sneaks in. Pete Carroll before Russell Wilson. Fired twice, and his record was below 500. Okay. Bill Belichick, Cleveland, New England before Brady took over. 41-57. We all get this, right? The player. I know we love our coaches. I get it. We love our coaches. It ain't the coach. The coach matters. Andy Reid's great. The catalyst. Y'all out there are saying for years Andy Reid was overrated. Nobody says that anymore. Why? Did he change or to get Patrick Mahomes? John Harbaugh was almost fired 2 years ago. Now it's like, Joy and I are like, maybe the second best coach in the league. Would he get smarter or get Lamar Jackson? Folks, Greg Popovich, the year before Tim Duncan, was 17-47. Doc Rivers was fired by the Orlando Magic, was 24-58 in Boston. He was dreadful. He was going to get fired again. And then a thing called Ray Allen and KG happened. I know we love our coaches. New England's not going to be any good. They're the lowest rated quarterback. They got no weapons. The division's better. Buffalo's a real football team. I think Miami and the Jets are better than people think, especially Miami. Got to come to terms with this. The people betting in Vegas, and they build big casinos based on being right more than wrong. They have him as the lowest rated quarterback in the league. And I'm a Patriot homer, right? I'm Mr. Patriot. Let's go to this. So I saw one of those bloggers out there. I think this is the big lead. Finally, America is coming to its senses. As I said yesterday, I was the first sportscaster that said 4 years ago, it ain't Richard Sherman. It's not the Legion of Doom. It's not Pete Carroll. It's not Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson is the game changer here. It took people a long time. And now in the last year, the rest of you, the Peter Kings, the media, traditional media people are like, yeah, that guy's like wildly underrated. Yeah, it's my life. This is the burden of being brilliant. So the big lead pointed out something that I don't even give Carson Wentz credit for because I don't think interceptions are that, I mean, nobody wants them, but I want my quarterback to let a rip. Eli Manning throws picks. Peyton Manning threw picks. Breeze has thrown picks. Matt Ryan throws picks. Andrew Luck threw a bunch of picks. The bottom line, if you throw one a game in 29 attempts, I'm okay with it as long as you don't throw it, deep in your own territory. It can be a punt on certain times. I don't think interceptions define the great quarterbacks. Namath, Bradshaw, Aikman, they all threw them. But they came up with this stat. Carson Wentz doesn't throw picks. In 2019, Wentz became the first quarterback in league history. History. to throw 20 or more touchdowns and seven or fewer picks in three straight seasons. It'd never been done, even by Aaron Rodgers. And I say that because Aaron Rodgers is considered the quarterback who doesn't throw picks and is one of the only quarterbacks in the league that throws fewer picks than Carson Wentz. So let's use Aaron Rodgers as an example if you think Carson Wentz is overrated. Last 3 years, I take out the rookie year for quarterbacks, Wentz has Aaron beat in record, touchdowns, completion percentage, and passer rating. And Rodgers has better star receiver, better star running back. They both had offensive-minded coaches, so that to me is a wash. Here's the reality of quarterbacks, and this is the way we do it. There's four boxes you got to check. And if you don't get to that last one, we kind of roll our eyes. The four boxes are the talent box. Wentz has clearly checked it. Just watch him play. Watch him at the end of last year. Working with nothing, got him to the playoffs. There's the stats box. Well, he's done that. 81 touchdowns, 21 picks last, 3 years. The winning box. Can you get your team to the playoffs? Last year's another example. Yes. And then there's the Super Bowl box, and he hasn't checked that one. But outside of Mahomes, tell me a guy playing in this league at quarterback 4 years or fewer who's checked all four. There's one. It's Patrick Mahomes. The talent, the stats, the lead to the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. That's it. No other quarterback last 4 years except Mahomes checks all. We like Lamar Jackson. Never won a playoff game. So, I like Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson with great receivers. Last year threw for 3,800 yards, 26 TDs. And I like Watson. Wentz is better. I told you before, you guys can argue 4 through 20. Three quarterbacks today in the NFL lead my franchise. Mahomes 1, Wilson 2, Wentz 3. You can argue over the rest. I think he's, and again, just like Russell Wilson, you're going to come groveling back and to apologize to me. This is what's going to happen. This is what happened. You eventually apologized. You were so mean to me on Andrew Luck. And eventually everybody apologized, Russell Wilson. And it's going to be about a year from now, and you're all going to apologize. You're going to feel terrible about it. You're not going to sleep at night. You're going to like, yeah, Uncle Colin was right again. You know, this is, sometimes, when you're ahead of everybody on stuff, this is your reality. And I'm slowly convincing Joy Taylor Carson Wentz is great. Yeah, you're not really. A lot of people aren't.
I like Carson Wentz. I think he's very talented. I like Carson Wentz.
Well, Chris Rock, you like him or is he really funny?
I mean, Chris Rock has quite a bit longer resume than Carson Wentz. If we're just like comparing professionally, I just.
Well, you like, is he great or is he?
He's great.
Oh yeah, of course.
I'm not ready to call Carson Wentz great. That's okay, right? I have to call Carson Wentz great right now.
No, I'm saying your description is America's description. It is okay. You know what's okay?
I didn't say he was okay. I said he was good.
Here's what's okay. Strawberry ice cream. It's okay.
I happen to love strawberry ice cream.
Well, most people don't. No, I mean,
that's true. Most people don't like strawberry ice cream. Actually, I like strawberry milkshakes more than strawberry ice cream.
Do you like... There's a lot of okay. When you lump him into okay...
I didn't say he was okay. I said he's good. I like him. I don't love him.
So you don't consider him like Mercedes or Tesla, or you don't consider him great. You consider him, I'm not even going to rip on a car dealer.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think he's okay?
Like, I think he's a key Optima. I love Russell Wilson. I love Lamar Jackson. I love Tom Brady still. Aaron Rodgers.
Carson Wentz is better than Tom Brady today. Yes, he is. He's better than Drew Brees. You don't think so?
Can I see a little bit more before I fall in love? Can we just take it slow?
How many times do you have to see Chris Rock on stage?
I think he's really talented. I think he's good.
Dave Chappelle, great or good?
Great, beyond great.
Okay,
legendary.
So elite.
Elite, yes. But like, so look, Carson Wentz is a good quarterback.
Good.
He earned my respect last year with what he was able to do.
I had a corn dog
for
dinner.
Also thought that the division was way down. There was not a lot of competition in that division last year. The Cowboys grossly underperformed.
Good as a corn dog.
I happen to think corn dogs are disgusting. I haven't eaten a hot dog since I was like 10 years old out of protest for hot dogs.
Almost everything in life is good. The good's everywhere.
He's also been injured, which I don't love.
He sprained an ankle once. Guy sprains an ankle, he's judged for life.
I'm not judging him. I'm just saying I think he is good.
Okay, so let's go to the NBA.
How Nick described him is perfect.
Okay.
I would put him in that category with Dak, with Matt Ryan.
So now you're siding with Nick. Is Clint Capella's a good NBA player? You're saying Carson Wentz is Clint Capella.
There's a spectrum. It doesn't, like, just because you can be at the high end of a spectrum or a low end of a spectrum and still be in a different category.
If you're a Yankee fan, Goulet, who's the outfielder? Brett, what's his name for the Yankees?
Gardner.
He's Brett Gardner. He's a good
He's
player.
Good.
So Carson Wentz is...
He's at the high end of the good quarterbacks.
So give me a high-end good baseball player.
Why is this so offensive?
He's great.
He's really good.
Now you've moved off good.
Because there can be a spectrum. It doesn't have to be like this or that. I just think that there, when you go into the top tier next level, I think he is good. I think I need to see consistency with his body, first of all.
All right.
And then,
he's good.
You know,
good.
Wins some playoff games.
Yeah. Corn dog. Brett Hudler. What's his name again?
Gardner.
Brett Gardner. What's Brett Gardner's batting average against great pitchers, by the way? He beats up on average pitchers. What's he hit? I bet you he hits .215 against great pitchers.
I don't know that they have a stat for against great pitchers.
They should.
Or good pitchers in
this
argument.
Once again, this light never
flows. I mean, you can't admit that the division was down last year, right?
You know.
The Giants and Washington were a disaster. The Cowboys underperformed. And that doesn't take away from what he was able to do with the massive amount of injuries that he had.
You're right. He's just good.
He's really good.
Corn dog in cleats. He's just good. I had a steak last night. Great. That was Carson Wentz.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
His first and only interview, Reggie Bush owned Los Angeles. This is a city that's got professional NBA teams, multiple Major League Baseball teams, MLS teams. When Reggie was here, he owned the city as a collegiate athlete. Then the NCAA handed down incredibly, incredibly punitive strikes against the program. 30 scholarships lost, wins vacated, and Reggie Bush was not allowed to be associated for 10 years with USC. That is now officially over. Reggie Bush joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So let me start with the obvious question. When you got the official news, you could now once again be part of the USC family. What was your initial reaction?
I was excited. This has been something I've dreamed of for a long time, you know, to be able to come home and spend time with some of the younger players, some of the coaches, some of the faculty, the staff members there. You know, there's still people there that I've developed strong, close relationships with, that I've known for a very long time, all the way down to the equipment people. And that's, you know, a testament of what we built in our time there while I was at USC. You know, we built relationships that extended far beyond the football field. And most, and if not all, the people, you know, that I've spent time with there, especially my teammates, I consider family. And to this day, you know, we are that relationship, again, like I said, goes far beyond the football field. So for me, we're excited to be back. Can't wait to get to the university and get to know some of the young players there, and start to help, you know, initiate change and just help bring back greatness to USC.
At the lowest point, Reggie, may have been 10 years ago, may have been 7 years ago, when you could not connect with USC, ostracized from the program, how bad was it?
What do you mean, how bad was it?
I mean,
for me, how bad
was it? Basically, you love the program, and you're told, keep away, stay away.
Yeah.
What's that like to go through?
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. You know, I went through a lot as a person. I went through a lot as a man. A lot of my confidence as a man was shot down. And, you know, I had some struggles throughout my career in the NFL because of the things that happened to USC. A lot of the things that I experienced that I went through that I had to deal with, you know, from backlash, from everything that happened. It was tough. It was not easy. But this is the thing for me. I couldn't stay in that spot. Because if I stayed in that spot, then I never would have, you know, had the opportunity to really enjoy my time in New Orleans. And that's the thing. You know, everything happened so quick. You know, for me, I got drafted, went to New Orleans, a team, an organization that needed change in a city that had just been destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. So I quickly had to get to work. But this always lingered in the back of my head. It always lingered In the back of my mind, it's the thing that kept me up late at night, almost every night. And it's the thing that, you know, that kind of haunted me too as well.
You know, Reggie, I said this earlier, outside of maybe Tim Tebow, I don't remember a college player the last 20 years that would have had a more lucrative college career if you were paid for likeness or mm-hmm. merchandise or merch.
Yeah.
You and Tebow, there's not really a third. And there have been a lot of great players. But take me back. You're 19 years old. The NFL's mm-hmm. not in Los Angeles. You were in a group of two or three sports people in the city of Los Angeles, 10 million people, as the biggest star. Just take me back to the best, the crest, the best years of USC. What was it like to be Reggie Bush?
It was amazing. It was amazing to be able to look on the sidelines and see Snoop Dogg, see Will Ferrell, you know, see a lot of, ex-players, Marcus Allen, Ronnie Lott. You see those kind of guys on the sidelines cheering for you and supporting you. And it means a lot. And that's one of the reasons why I can't wait to go back, because I know what it means to be able to look to that sideline and see some of the OGs, some of the older guys who did it before you. You know, Marcus Allen is from my area. We grew up in the same area. Where the high school he went to, I grew up maybe 5 miles down the street from. And so, you know, I looked up to Marcus Allen, you know, for a long time, and I still do, because of the person that he is, the man he is, and guys like Ronnie Lott, who have been in my corner from day one. These are guys that, you know, eat, sleep, and breathe Cardinal and gold, eat, sleep, and breathe USC. And those are the kind of guys that, you know, I can't wait to get around those guys and again, help bring back some of the greatness back to USC.
I got to ask you about the Saints. We had Gerald McCoy was on yesterday, and Gerald McCoy said, I'm going to accept Drew Brees' apology. When I was a young player in the league, Drew Brees helped me, and I was trying to sack him. I thought Drew was tone deaf, and I think it's much more important to be concerned about what Michael Thomas thinks of you than the president. And I think he was tone deaf and made a correction. Do you think Drew could struggle winning everybody back in that locker room? You know him.
Well, I know Drew personally, and I know my relationship with Drew. And very similar to the story Gerald McCoy is saying that, you know, Drew helped him. My first introduction to meeting Drew Brees was the night before the draft when the Houston Texans passed up on me. Drew called me that night before it had even been announced and said, I can't wait to play with you, because I had a chance to play with LaDainian Tomlinson, who I consider to be one of the greatest running backs ever. And I think you have a shot to be just as good or better than him. And so right away, that completely shifted everything, my mentality, whatever, you know, anxiousness or just uncomfortable feelings that I had inside of me about being passed up on and now going to a city which we didn't know if they were going to have a home stadium. We didn't know what the future held for that city, because they had just been through Hurricane Katrina. And Drew took the opportunity to call me. And that's why I've accepted Drew's apology on national TV on Speak for Yourself. And Drew's actually also reached out to me personally and just apologized once again and said that, you know, he hoped that his divisive comments didn't hurt and that he couldn't wait. And then he was excited to be our ally in this fight. And I really respect Drew a lot, because I know his heart. I know the person he is. Yes, those comments were tone deaf and divisive at the wrong time, but I think Drew will do a great job at educating himself, processing this the right way, and changing the narrative as well.
You know, I was just thinking about something I didn't ask you about USC. I want to circle back.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've never really bought into this vacated wins thing. It doesn't matter. I watched you play. You were the best team easily. On a personal level, do you think you'll get the Heisman back? Would that matter to you?
Yeah. You know, to say that I don't want it back would be a lie. You know, and so I do want to be completely honest about that. 100% I want my Heisman Trophy back. But also at the same time, I'm more focused on the kids now, because what happened to me is in the past. And we're not going to change what happened, and we're not going to be able to, you know, change everything that happened in that situation. But what we can do is learn from it now, and right? And that's why I'm so happy that kids will now be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness, because that is what's fair and that is what they deserve, right? It's very, you know, in no other form of work can a company say, hey, you come and work for us, but you cannot make money off your name, image, and likeness, but we can. And that's unfortunate, because you're hamstringing a lot of families, a lot of kids, when they're in their prime. When you're 19, 20 years old, that's when you're starting to hit your prime. And that's when you're starting to see this change in your body physically, especially for young men. And so that's the critical time for some of these kids to be able to capitalize off of some of those things. And I think it's very important, because as we now move to the name, image, and likeness and the legislation that's being written on that, who is looking out for the players in this situation? Because I have to believe that the NCAA is going to protect, you know, their investments, which they should, right? I'm not saying that they shouldn't do that. But at the same time, I don't want to see these players to be hamstringed once again because of maybe the new rules that come out doesn't fully support them in a way that it should be. So that's my focus right now. The Heisman Trophy and everything that happened with USC, that's in the past. Would I love to have it back? Hell yes. But at the same time, is it my focus right now? Absolutely not.
Did you ever feel taken advantage of being a star in Los Angeles with all the money and the agents and the stars and not? Did you ever feel taken advantage of as a college athlete?
100%. At the time, did I feel that? No. Because at the time, it was just about balling on the football field with your teammates. It was about being in the locker rooms, you know, during after school and before you go to practice and sharing those stories with your brothers and building that chemistry on and off the football field. That's what it's about at that time. You're not thinking about the money, none of that stuff that people could or could not be making off of you. Once you leave and then you start to really understand what college football is all about, then that's where you go back and you say, okay, you know, there was a big significant injustice that happened here. Not just to me, but to everybody that came through the college system. Because, again, as I said before, in no way, shape, or form is it okay to tell a young kid when he's in his prime, you can't make money off your name, image, and likeness, but this big-time corporation can.
Reggie Bush, I see a wine cellar in the back. It's a little early for wine, but you enjoy a nice